The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. Need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Show's taught me.
Shit 90 Show's taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Show's Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Humphrey. Sarah, how are you?
Back again for another season. Really happy to be here for season 6 with you, Jess. This is really exciting. It's a brand new season. Yeah. A lot of happenings, and I'm like really excited to discuss it with you. I know that this is going to be a change of tone season a little bit. So yeah. I'm interested to see what that brings. A little scared. Are you scared? I'm a little scared.
I don't know that I'm not scared. It's more so that I'm like, I'm a little concerned about if I will enjoy the tone that mm-hmm. we're going to take with this. Like, right. We're going through a whole thing of like, okay, Buffy's back from the dead. We're also on a different like network. So like that could change things mm-hmm. with the show a little right. bit as well. I don't know. And like, here's the thing. We've long said this is our 6th time now doing a premiere. I don't feel like Buffy does premieres.
No.
Great.
No. Okay. Because let's clean out the cobwebs or let's like lay out the land, because I don't want to be negative and I don't want to be a raging bitch. But I think my reaction to seeing this the first time was the season premiere kind of sucked ass.
Feels like it's like, okay, you know the saying of like could have been an email. I feel like this 2-part episode could have been 1 episode. Like I didn't yeah. I felt like we were kind of prolonging some stuff. Like we were just like hanging around for a little bit. I don't know. It was fine. We needed to bring Buffy back from the dead, very obviously. But some of it just felt like we were taking a long time to get from A to B.
That's interesting. I don't even think I had a problem with that. I think that my issue was, honestly, my issue is truly how Buffy came back to life. Like, I, that is my main.
The willow of it all, the willow spell.
Yeah. And I think that, and maybe it's because in my head, I convinced myself of a different tale because of my own hypothesizing.
Because we thought it was going to be like, she's in a different dimension. She's going to fight her way back. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to see, honestly. Yes. Like, I think, like, that's the biggest thing. Like, I love, and I honestly think that Willow is going to be like a, like almost as integral this season as Buffy. Like, maybe this is like even more so because of like, she got like the and as Willow credit, you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
obviously, like, she's elevated, and I think that this is going to be her season where like she really is like a main focus, and that's great and all, but I wanted to see Buffy fight her way back. Like, I wanted to see Buffy, like, put her
fate
in her own hands. And I think that that's why, for no reason at all, that's what I expected. So to see Willow do the spell and Buffy is back because of Willow, for me personally, it, like, I was like, man, like, I want to see, like, Buffy, like, you know, fight her way back, or like have to negotiate with like people within the underworld, a la like Sabrina the Teenage Witch, where Sabrina had to go to the council every so often, remember?
And we've seen like Angel go to a council
yes,
definitely there's precedent for it. That's really interesting.
That's what I wanted to see. And then when I was just like, well, Willow just did the spell, like, that's awesome, because like, that the thing is that Willow's powers are really strong. She's doing some really cool stuff.
She's doing some big spells. Okay, so two things in response to that, because I do think what you're saying is interesting, of like wanting to see Buffy have agency in returning. Number one, I think we still could get more Buffy agency. I think it will just be in the realm of the mental battles that she's going to have to fight with, like, I literally was dead and now I'm back, and like, I've missed some time, and all of that, and like the trauma of waking up in your own coffin, like seeing yourself, like the Buffy bot, die. I think there's a lot Buffy could mentally work through that maybe would get us to that point. But I guess my biggest hang up with this whole bring Buffy back to life thing is like, we literally just said last season how dangerous and bad it is to resurrect someone. Like, Tara was staunchly anti-resurrecting Joyce. And like, I guess they kind of explained it away with Willow saying, because she died via like magical means, she could be in some other realm. Like, we have no idea where her soul is. And so we need to like rescue her. I'm not saying Joyce and Buffy's deaths are the same, because they're very much not, right? Like, Joyce dies of a a health thing, a body health, thing.
A mortal thing.
Yeah. Buffy dies because she jumps into a magical goo portal.
But also we see her body like fall on the floor. So like, who's to say she just didn't die from like
her insides falling? Were all fucked.
Like, maybe she just like,
she took a lot of falling damage.
Jumped off the tower and fell to her death. I know that that's not what happened. That's interesting too, because like, that's a great point, because when we do the spell to bring Buffy back, like, all the Scoobies are there.
Tara was like in, right? Tara, like, it was the Scoobies' plan.
Except for, and this is my second issue, except for the fact, so like, now the Scoobies have like initiated Tara in officially. Tara, you're in. Anya, you're in. Spike, you're still out. Dawn, you're out. Like, and that annoyed me too, because like, when they were slaying, they didn't allow like Dawn in. And I was just like,
yeah,
but like, why? Because Dawn is 16, the same age that Buffy was, and we don't have to protect her like a little baby anymore because she's no longer the key. So I didn't like that. And I didn't like that she, at least she knew about the resurrection, but it was annoying to me that she wasn't there either.
No, she didn't know about the resurrection.
Oh, she didn't.
Okay, this was the other thing annoying. That was like, yeah. I'm with you because I feel like this is the worst of both worlds, where we're not going to tell Dawn about the plan at all because seemingly like, well, we don't want to get her hopes up, like if it doesn't work, like blah, blah, blah. But how traumatizing would it be for you to see the physical embodiment of your dead sister literally every single day, live with her, like try to train her to be more like your dead sister?
True. I mean, Buffy Baugh is actually iconic for me. She's my queen. But
she's incredible. But think about it from Dawn's perspective. Like, yeah, that's it's a little horrifying.
So so we know that Giles didn't know about the resurrection. Did Spike know about the resurrection?
No. Okay. The only ones who knew were like the core four of Anya, Xander, Tara, and Willow. And I could be incorrect, but I believe that that's the case where none of the other three knew, which also, can I just say, not getting Giles involved literally only makes sense when you think about the plot device of Giles is leaving the show. So like they don't want to tell him.
Oh.
But like from a plot standpoint, it makes no sense not to tell Giles, the literal owner of a magic shop who was Buffy's watcher. Like, don't you think you'd want to get his input?
Maybe we do have a lot to complain about. And
this is why
I was like, I watched this and I was like, well, this episode sucked ass because like the whole Giles thing is annoying.
I'm pissed. Sarah. I'm annoyed. I'm pissed.
I'm annoyed that like Buffy, when Buffy does come back, she's essentially like, remember the episode where she was a cave woman?
Literally, I had the same thought. Why do they give her these fuck ass wigs? Why is she a brunette?
She can't communicate. Like she's like in a catatonic. Thank you. State. Yeah. Like it's like she, it just wasn't it. And like, I know that the season is so beloved for so many people. And I do also know that like, you know, premieres for Buffy are not as strong as their finales. We rarely have anything negative to say about the finales, except maybe season 4, because that was a little fucked and a half. But
it was
still
a little fucked.
It was a little different. It was a little trying things.
I feel like we always get off to a little bit of a rocky start. So, like, I don't think this necessarily means anything for our overall enjoyment of the
either.
Season.
But I also hated, like, because the premieres also love to put in this like one episode arc of like a baddie that we don't give a shit about, like, or we could care about, but they die off, like the blonde vampire teenager girl.
The one that was like haunting the college campus, which we adored, and they're like, nah, she's gone.
Yeah, that was one episode. Last season it was Dracula. Like they loved this. And then this season it's like this weird ass biker gang.
Who gives a single shit about these guys?
I really didn't. So like, yeah, like maybe I do have a lot to complain about with the season premiere. There's things that I didn't hate, but I don't know. Like, let's go from the beginning, because like in the very beginning, we get our opening credits, right?
Yeah. And this is how I first realized, like, wow, okay, Giles is like obviously not going to be around that much because he is like listed as like a guest star. He doesn't get the official fancy and credit. That instead goes to Willow. So I was like, well, fuck, man. Like, I fucking love Daddy Giles. Like, are you kidding? He just had the most daddy moment ever in the finale of last season. Yeah. And now he's not going to be around. So that was devastating.
Yeah, this is a complete surprise to me. And I don't even know if I understand what's happening, because once again, like, we are completely unspoiled. I didn't know that Giles like wasn't going to be a main character in season 6. I don't know if this is like a temporary thing. I don't know if when we did – what makes sense to me is like we made the shift to a new channel, which means that we have to renegotiate contracts.
Yeah.
Obviously, the existing members or the existing cast members, like a Sarah Michelle Gellar, like an Allison Hannigan, so on and so forth, they want better pay. So what? Like, we can't have we can't have the same amount of people. We're not going to get rid of Don or Spike or what, I guess Anya's in the credits now, but then, so then I just don't know if like we have no idea if this was like a Anthony
something head,
some Christopher head, Anthony Michael Christopher head. Yeah. No, that's not right. Stuart head.
It's something. Stuart.
I don't know if it was like his decision to depart the show, or if they were like, we don't have the budget for you. You can either take a step back and pay. Like Tara is not in the opening credits. She's a supporting character. You can either do that, or you can make special guest appearances and take new opportunities. And I don't know. I would like to know
if people do know, to like tell us in a non-spoilery way, like exactly what ended up happening here. Because my assumption would be, given his age, right? Like as an actor, he gained a lot of notoriety with the character of Giles. And maybe he felt like, I'm kind of done. Like 5 seasons is enough for me. I still want to hang around and like be a little bit a part of it, but I'd like other opportunities to be available. So like it could have been a him thing. It just like sucked, because it sucked that like he wasn't a part of the storyline to resurrect Buffy. And it sucks that now he's leaving. Like it sucks all around.
And honestly, like, I think we're both blindsided. I think at least like back in the day, you probably got like the TV Guide or like People magazine to be like, Giles leaving the show or like taking a step back. Like we had no idea. So to see that,
this is happening.
I mean, like it makes me a little bit grumpy. And then like I said before, it's just like Tara still doesn't make the credits. Like I think like it's something as simple as the show has X amount of people that they want to pay for. Let's focus on our mains. I'm surprised that Anya didn't get kicked to the curb as like a main character as well. But
she gets the fiance credit now. She's fiance, so it doesn't really say that. No.
So that was very noteworthy. And the other thing was like, Allison Hannigan is now the like, and Allison Hannigan as Willow, which is a really substantial, probably bump for her. Like she
it's
probably
a spot
got
you want to be. Yeah,
she probably got paid mad money.
Here's the thing. I think like actor wise, like I feel like she does a great job as Willow. Like I think anytime there's like an emotional scene, I think she's like absolutely stellar. You know, let's forget the fact that like we had some issues with the character of Willow. I don't think we much have issues with the acting behind Willow as a character. Mm-mm. So like, yeah, she now, like you were saying, not only just as an actor, but the character Willow herself. The very first scene we get of the premiere is her being basically like using her now telekinesis that she has to basically get the lay of the land of the battlefield and like help the Scoobies in Buffy's absence be better slayers.
She's essentially the playing chess. Like she's on top of the crypt and is like, you know, Anya to square 4 or whatever.
It's like the Survivor challenges where you had everyone was blindfolded except for the one person who stood up on the thing and had to like yell out directions to everyone.
Yeah. But she has like a big job. She is seemingly the leader. Like she feels like she's in command. And I think like
she was elected the leader, they said.
Oh,
like remember they had the thing where they all agreed that Willow's going to be the leader. Willow has the telekinesis. Willow is like giving commands to everyone. Willow is in charge of Buffybot and like repairs and coding. Yeah. And she's the one who Buffybot goes to if she's injured or whatever.
It's deserved.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think Willow is definitely going to be an essential ingredient of the season. Like, obviously, she already was, but in her doing the resurrection spell, not only is she the one to kind of take on all of the, you know, the damage from the spell, but she also is the one who's like getting sourcing materials. She fucking kills Bambi to get the blood. Like, you couldn't just do a little cut on the deer. Like we had to full on slaughter a baby deer.
No, she had to bring the heart to the
spot. Little baby had spots. Like that was a baby.
I didn't really watch that scene, but because I knew what was coming. But I knew that like she had to bring the heart to the spell. So that's what it was.
I hated that. Yeah, that was awful to watch.
Did you notice that I felt like her hair and makeup got elevated as well? Like her hair did not look like absolute ass.
I didn't notice that much. I feel like her hair looked kind of similar, but
no, it looked good. It
very
was
different.
Like,
okay, good.
Silky, it was shiny. It looked good. The length was appropriate. Like,
oh,
she got the good hair and makeup person.
Unlike Buffy.
Yeah. Like Buffy, unlike
poor Buffy, yeah. Her fuck ass wig.
So yeah, we come back and they are trying to pick up the slack of Buffy's absence. They're still fighting the good fight. They are using Buffy Bot as kind of like a decoy because they don't want the demons or anybody to know that the Slayer is gone, because then all these like demons will swarm into Sunnydale and destroy everything.
And Dawn could get taken away. Like they don't want people, which like, okay, God, I have so many like thoughts and feelings on this, as like, as much as we fucking hate Mr. Summers, like we fucking hate this absentee parent bullshit of Buffy's dad. It is fucked to be like not telling anyone that Buffy is dead. Like, can you imagine? Like, and he sucks, right? Like, obviously he sucks, but it's real fucked to just pretend that Buffy isn't dead, both from like a mental health standpoint for Dawn, also for like anyone who may have cared about Buffy to be under the assumption that she is alive. And like, I agree, the whole like, let's keep Dawn in our care thing makes sense. But like, is Dawn better off living on a fucking hellmouth with Willow and Tara, who aren't her parents? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, is that really a better situation for her?
It's probably what she wants. Quite honestly, I interpreted that as like, Willow has the cockiness of a 20-year-old who thinks that she can take on the world. And I think that there was not a doubt in her mind that she can bring Buffy back until she thought that she failed at bringing Buffy back. So I think that they were just like, this is just a temporary thing. She's come back from the dead before. We have the sources and the materials to do it. Like, this is going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And I mean, if they were correct about that. But I think that, yeah, up until when she thought that she did fail, I think that there was no doubt in her mind. Because like, the thing is that like, when you gain this power so young, you really think you're invincible. And
she got a lot of power very quickly. So that tracks. So
I think that she just is like, we got this. Like, there's just like no way that we can't bring her back. But yeah, so I think like that's a part of it. Like, they were like, this is just like a temporary thing until we sort everything out. I thought like Buffy Bot, like I said earlier, her job being not only to be perceived as like Dawn's caretaker, but also as like the Slayer is still in Sunnydale. I thought the Buffy Bot scenes were all very funny. I like crack up. She's such a gem. Like, I thought that we were going to like come in and she was just going to be kind of gross, but she's just so funny. And I loved the scene, like all the scenes, like when you're talking about the dad phone call, she's like, that's my father. Like, I am his, like, I am whatever she said. Like, he is my ancestor. Like, I am part of him. It's just like so silly and funny. Also, surprising that her father actually is alive, because I was convinced that he was a dead.
He apparently is around, not nearby, but he calls apparently. The Buffy Bot stuff was very funny. It was some like great comedic relief. I really liked the sandwich stuff. I really liked but Willow needing to reprogram her so she doesn't do so many knock knock jokes. I thought was really great. So she did provide some like really fun comedic relief.
Also, like the line where she says to like Spike, like something like,
his abs or something, his washboard abs.
Yeah, something along those lines. And Spike is like, I asked you many, many times to deprogram her
from
saying shit like that to me. And that was funny. I thought the scene at school, the parent teacher,
teacher conference sort of a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought like that was really funny where like
school is where you learn.
And like the teacher was like, you're right. And we forget that sometimes because sometimes we just get like really lost in like the day to day or the socialization. But like they are. And it's like, well, I made sandwiches for Dawn. It's like, it's great that you are being like an active role in this and that you just don't go like give your kid like $2 to buy fries. I like she nailed it, but like she shouldn't have nailed it because it was so artificially manufactured.
But to Spike's point, right, like it's like, well, they love building an army of robots at school, so like of course they loved her, like it makes sense. That was really funny, like Buffy bot killing it at the parent teacher stuff. She did provide really fun comedic relief. I just couldn't help but like it tore me up when Dawn went in and laid next to Buffy Bot that was on like Buffy's bed.
That was
like,
so sad.
It tore me up that like how much this must be absolutely killing Dawn to be living with, like having a living reminder of her sister who she doesn't think will ever come back. Like what, how can you possibly live like this? Like what is the long-term solution, you know? But
Speaking of Dawn, you don't think that Willow and like the gang was like, we are going to try to bring her back eventually? Like,
I don't think they told Dawn because I don't think they wanted to get her hopes up.
Interesting. Like not even
they like kept her out of everything.
Like I would understand like not specifics. Like this day is when we're going to try to make it happen. But not, I don't know. I mean,
that's, maybe I'm wrong. Like maybe they did, but I felt like they never said anything to her. But speaking of Dawn, I really loved that we got to continue the Dawn and Spike stuff in this episode. That is something I did enjoy about this episode, these episodes where Spike and Dawn and Spike being babysitter and like how protective he is of Dawn, saying like, I'm not leaving you to get hurt. Not again. Like, he regrets everything that happened with Buffy and he's very protective of Dawn. And I loved that. I love Spike being babysitter Spike.
Yeah, it's good like big brother energy. And I think it's something that he like needs. Like I think like Buffy, Dawn treats Spike like a person, which not a lot of people in his world does. And I think that he is able to care for her. And I don't think that he's ever had that caretaker role either. I mean, we did see him like when Drew Lulu was like not well, like he was a pretty good caretaker to her as well, except when he was like yelling at her. Like that was bad.
Yeah, when he's not throwing gravestones at his girlfriends, like he is a great he's always been a decent caretaker with Dawn. Like he really has been.
Yes.
So I really love their relationship and the fact that he is so protective of her. And like when in the second episode, when they're like, what are they? Is it like a motorcycle? And she has like a helmet on, but it's like a very silly helmet. Like, I don't know. I just think they're just such a fun pair. They're
a fun duo. I think that it's a very like unlikely pairing that I'm sure in the beginning of last season when they brought Dawn on, they couldn't imagine that the chemistry between these two people would work. But then now that I say that, I am reminded that you had me listen to that song.
Oh no.
what was the song called again? If you didn't listen to our season wrap up, there was a song. Apparently Michelle Trachtenberg had a crush on James Marsden. Whatever, Spike. And he wrote
this Marsters.
He wrote this creepy ass song and it was questionable. It's the sort of thing that I would pay millions of dollars to wipe from the internet if I had millions of dollars. Because essentially the song is like, look, girl, I know that you have a crush and I would totally do it, but you're 18
I would hit that if you weren't so young.
Yeah, it was like, it wasn't even like, not because I don't want to, because I don't want to get in trouble. Like, yeah.
it's against the law. Actually.
It's against the law. But if it wasn't, then you and me would be going to Pound Town, was what the song was about. And I was like, what the fuck is this song? This is what you keep in the drafts. You know, yeah. I'm not a songwriter. Uh-huh. If I was writing songs, I'm sure it would be worse than this. But this is the sort of thing that you don't go to the recording studio for. It was god awful. But yeah, they have good chemistry, as in like older brother, younger sister. And that's all I want to see from these two ever.
Yes.
Which I think, like, obviously they're not going to make that ever happen. But it was just and honestly, like, I was definitely like a young girl that had crushes on older guys. But like, nothing, nobody wrote a song about me.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I want to talk about lasagna. Lasagna, yes. Shippers, yeah. Everywhere. Rejoice.
Yeah. Tell me what you thought about this episode with the two of them.
Yeah, they have to keep their engagement. Well, Xander wants to keep the engagement quiet because of everything going on with Buffy being up in the air. Like, he doesn't basically want to be like, take your grief and shove it. I have something fun to announce. Anya is tired of waiting, and I don't blame her. She's waiting for Giles to leave so she can run the shop. She's waiting to announce their engagement. She's like, this was your idea in the first place, and now we have to keep it quiet. I get it. This was like such small potatoes to me. Like, this was such a, like, who cares, you know? Mm-hmm. They still seem to be happy. They're going through with the engagement, which is a thumbs up in my book. They're going to need to divulge this information soon. If I'm Anya and I'm being forced to keep this secret for more than a few weeks, I'm actively getting pissed off.
Yeah, I mean, nobody wants to be kept a secret. That doesn't feel good. And I think that, like, for Anya, you have to think of it as, like, sometimes most of the time she sees things in black and white. And she's like, we're in a sad situation. How to not be sad? Happy. What's happy news? Our engagement. I don't understand why we wouldn't. If we can share something happy, then won't everybody be happy? And I think that, like, she doesn't understand, like, the nuance of, like, you know, maybe it's not the most appropriate time. But then again, it's just like, I don't think that people are going to be, like, you know, throwing, like, confetti and is going to forget that, like, Buffy existed if you announce your engagement. But nobody wants to be kept a secret. That doesn't feel good.
So I understand the, like, you know, when do we announce it? How do we announce it? Like, it feels weird because there's so much other stuff going on. But, like, you people are literally always in mortal danger. Yeah. Like, there's really no perfect time to announce this. I feel like the longer you wait, the more weird it is. So just say it. Like, everyone's just going to celebrate it. And, like, to Anya's point, when they are so sad, it is like, don't do it the day Buffy dies. Yeah. But, like, after enough time has passed, I feel like, people want to celebrate. People want to hear good news.
Yeah.
So I don't see the big deal in doing it. Now, the time to do it is definitely not when Buffy has first come back from the dead and is very confused.
Once again, like, this is very, like, black and white. Like, I understand how, like, Anya thinks. Like, I think, like, she's kind of, it may sense, like, she sees Buffy, who is all out of sorts, seemingly is, like, really depressed and scared and sad. Once again, what can I do to make her, like, happy? Tell her good news. It makes so much sense to me. But yeah, like, she definitely doesn't have the understanding of, like, appropriate timing, which is, like, kind of, like, what we love about Anya, because it's kind of like, you know how, like, everybody really loves Sheldon from Big Bang Theory?
Yes.
It's kind of like the same thing. It's just, you know, it's, like, endearing. Like, Sheldon may, what's funny, I've not really seen Big Bang Theory. However, it was, like, Adam's nighttime show. So
you consumed it, kind of.
I consumed it. It plays on the iPad that's, like, not facing. I never saw a minute of Big Bang Theory. I just to like 20 seasons of Big Bang Theory. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I know Big Bang Theory.
I know everything that happened. Yeah.
I've never like, my eyes have never been placed on the show. So I'm like, yeah, like yeah. Sheldon, like I've seen so much of Big Bang Theory. No, I have not. But yeah, so I think it's just like, you know, like she doesn't have like that understanding of like appropriate timing, but yeah, I understand like what she's saying.
Yeah. And we also got some really fun duos in the second episode where Anya and Tara end up paired off. Yeah. Anya's like very scared something's going to happen to Xander. And Tara is like, we would know if something happened to either of them. They hug. It's very cute. Tara sends her little light ball out to find Willow and Xander.
I liked that because like, number one, I liked the opportunity that Tara got to do magic on her own without yes. Willow, and I really liked that spell a lot. I thought that it was like kind of cool.
It was cute, and it makes sense that she would be able to do something like that. Tara has always given to me like, if Willow is like destructive magic, yes. Tara yeah. is like healing magic yes. and like utility magic. Yes. So
she's yeah. our druid.
She's our druid cleric.
Yeah.
And Willow is like sorcerer, wizard, fireball bitch.
She's menace to society. Yeah. Yes. I really liked Tara these couple of episodes too. Like I felt like she like woke up essentially. Like not because like she like wasn't in like that trance, but like I felt like she had more personality. She had more.
We got to see them kiss. That happened. Yeah. New network, new smoochies.
I like the fact that it felt like they gave her more, mm-hmm. like just more personality, like more presence. And maybe that's the benefit of not having somebody like Giles in the episodes where, you know, we can spend some of that time that we were spending on Giles on somebody like Tara that hasn't had a lot, or even the fact that Buffy wasn't really present in these couple of episodes, like totally. We can have that time and use it to give Tara more, which I do like because that was our biggest complaint about Tara last season, was that like mm-hmm. they weren't giving her anything. She didn't have like a personality. It was like very mild. And I felt like she like was a actual character and not a piece of furniture, essentially. Yeah. This episode.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think we did get more from her without Giles getting a ton of content. She's very active in like the decision making. She, like you said, she seems like she's now officially a member of the Scooby Squad. So they're all basically, when Willow does this spell, this resurrection spell, it's nasty. Like she gets cuts on her arms. There's like gross bumpies crawling under her skin. She throws up a fucking snake. Like shit is happening.
So Tara says that they were aware that something was going to happen. Like they were going to get tested, as if like, if you really, really, really want this resurrection to happen, you have to be tested and not quit in the middle of it.
Yeah. So, you have to give something up to get what you want. Yeah.
Yeah. So, which once again, if like you're giving yourself, I don't know, this spell seemed very dark magic. And once again, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel like it feels like a little bit of black magica.
It definitely is. I think this is why Tara was like pretty against this happening in last season, because Willow's really putting herself through the ringer, and they basically say if she gets interrupted, you know, that's it. They only get one shot at this. And this is existing magic rules, because they talked about this last season when Anya and Willow were fighting about like the interruptions when it comes to magic. It's not good. Could be no bueno. And of course, this is when Motorcycle Gang, who has found out that Buffy is they think Buffy is a robot because Buffy bot gets damaged. They see her wiring, yada, yada. They interrupt the spell. And that is when we get the two pairings separating. We get Willow and Xander getting like a little lost. Willow is very weak from performing the spell. She thinks it didn't work, so she's devastated. Great acting by Allison Hannigan, I thought. Mm-hmm. I thought her, like, when she has cry face, it is very sad. She thinks it doesn't work.
And meanwhile, poor fucking Buffy, poor dead ass Buffy with her nasty ass wig is trying to crawl out of her fucking coffin underground. Horrifying. Like, most people have being buried alive as like a massive fear for a fucking reason.
Yeah. I felt like the I don't know, the visuals of her coming from a skeleton to a human, I felt like that was interesting. It felt very Halloween Town.
Yeah.
And then and then I don't know, like, so she, like, I guess I just want to know, like, if she was brought back to life and the tomb was already dug up, exhumed, would she still be in this, like, state because she came back from the dead? Like, who knows what she saw on the other side? Or is it mostly because she had to dig herself out of it?
I think she'd be in this state no matter what, because we did spend a lot of time with her and, like, her vision was almost, like, blurry. Like, she wasn't quite back yet.
Are you sure it's not because, like, there is some, like, worm slime in her eyes or something?
I do think she would have been fucked up no matter what. I do think it's more traumatizing, though, to have to claw your way out of your own coffin. And not only that, but see yourself literally ripped apart, right? Like, she sees Buffy Bot get her arms and legs and head just, like, but fucking tore off.
Once again, I feel like the real Buffy in her actual, like, normal state, like, would you see that and be like, oh, that sucks, Buffy Bot's dead. Like, Buffy Bot's really, like, I don't think that would fuck me up to be like, she knows what Buffy Bot is. So it's like,
but I think she's very disoriented, though. Like, I think she's, like, seeing herself get torn up. I think we're going to spend a decent amount of next episode finding out where Buffy actually, like, went.
Fucking better, because if we don't, I think I'm going to lose it.
Yeah.
That's all I want to know. All
we don't know, right? Like, we didn't find out anything. She comes back and she's, like, totally fucked up. She doesn't trust any of the Scoobies.
She can't even say a fucking sentence.
No, she's really
Spend the entire episode with her just walking through where she went after she died, or else I'm going to end it all.
Oh, like, wow.
I was very disappointed, honestly, about that.
Yeah, I think we could still get it. I think we could get it next episode. Yeah.
What's
the next
episode called? It better be Buffy's Time in the Underworld.
I think you're going to be happy. It's called Afterlife.
Okay, all right.
So then I think we're going to get it. But, like, because we didn't get any of that, and it turns out that, like, yeah, she's very disoriented. She doesn't really trust any of the Scoobies. She doesn't want them to get close to her. She's still trying to, like, kind of piece things back together. I think she maybe has some memory loss as well, and she ends up finding herself at the tower from the finale of last season.
Yeah.
And I loved, talk about things I liked from this premiere, I really loved the Buffy Dawn stuff at the top of, like, the crane, where Dawn is trying to be like, you're back, like, Buffy, it's you, it's me, like, I'm here, you know, like, this is real, this isn't, you know, a memory. Because I feel like the sister connection was such an important part of season 5.
Yeah.
It makes sense that in order to pull Buffy back from the dead, you would need Dawn. That Dawn would be the essential ingredient in that formula, you know?
Yeah, give our girl something to do, some sort of bit of importance. Yeah, I thought that it was, I agree. I liked those scenes as well. I really like that sweeping music that they used in the finale and now the premiere. I don't know what it's called, but it really gets me. And I thought it was like we needed Dawn to, like, bring her back down to Earth essentially, and at least make her realize, like, why she's here in the first place. And it's like, you have, like, people, like, need you, she needs you, and why Buffy sacrificed herself in the first place, and it was for Dawn. So
she saved the world a lot,
plenty.
I did like, right, like, the ending I thought was solid. I and, like, they, you know, they, Buffy has to save Dawn because the freaking crane thing's about to collapse. Like, it is a really moving, touching moment between the two of them. I'm happy that that's what brought Buffy back. But yeah, if we don't get any explanation on what Buffy was up to during all of this, I'm not going to be super jazzed. So I think hopefully we'll get that in next week's episode.
Yeah. I mean, patience is a virtue. If
I don't have it,
I feel like I'm complaining or bitching about the fact that we didn't get to see a certain thing and it's literally the next episode, then time to cool off a little bit, I guess. I think that it was just, I felt the change. I felt like,
yeah,
I felt the absence of Giles. Like, I felt the why of him leaving was very unclear, besides the fact like, oh, I guess I'm not needed here anymore. Or maybe he was like, it's time for me myself, like for my, like to focus on myself. But right. Also, like, I just like can't imagine like a person would like leave. I don't know how exactly long it was. Like, maybe it felt like maybe like a month or two, maybe a little bit longer. But
I want to say they said 2 months, but I could be wrong about that.
I would have expected Giles to stick around for like at least a year to make sure everything is like settled.
Yeah,
that felt weird. It felt weird that he tried to like slip out in the middle of the night without saying goodbye. That felt weird.
Did he even say what he was going to be doing? Like, he's still part owner in the business and everything, but like, what's he doing in Britain? Like, we don't know.
I don't know. Maybe if they came up with something interesting, like he is going to take this time to source magical objects to maybe like bring Buffy back to life or do something that's meaningful, then maybe I would have less issue with it. But once again, like, I just like, it feels like narratively it doesn't make sense within the narrative. You have to look at it as like outside of a TV show perspective, which means that the reason why he's leaving is either an actor choice or it's a network choice. It doesn't feel like the character made the decision. It felt like a outside resource made the decision.
Yeah.
And it didn't just feel true to him, essentially. And I think, like, in addition to that, I felt the shift. Like, I felt like Willow was the star of the show. Allison Hannigan was the star of the show. I felt that shift. Once again, like, let's see what comes once like Buffy's like back to the earth. And it just felt very, if it already felt different, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree. I think like if we take Angel leaving as like an example, their breakup makes sense because there is a natural ending to their relationship. Yeah. There's only so far it can go, so on and so forth. That felt like narratively it made sense. It really felt like they were like, we're going to write Giles out as quick as possible and not really give much of an explanation as to why. And that just feels like we were a little shortchanged. Like, it, like you said, if there was a reason where we could be like, I hate this, but I understand, I think it's where I would have liked to be, rather than just, I hate this, doesn't make a ton of sense. Why is he leaving now? What is he going to do? It felt a little unfulfilling. So maybe we'll, he is listed as like guest starring or whatever the hell. So like, we'll probably get more of him. But yeah, for now, it's just, it leaves a sour taste in my mouth and I'm not too pleased about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I think that, I don't know. I mean, we talked a lot about what we weren't satisfied with, but I mean, I'm excited to keep watching. I really am. I just feel like, I don't know, some of the stuff was a little rotten.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, do we want to get into Cordy's Corner and discuss a little bit of Angel? Heartthrob and that vision thing.
Episodes. Okay.
Are you ready for me to tell you what happened on Angel?
Yeah, because, totally.
Woo, baby. Okay. So
Angel goes on like sabbatical because he's dealing with all the Buffy death stuff.
Oh my sad God. Boy. Way to make it about you, Angel.
Literally always. So in the meantime, we have the trio doing their thing. Wesley has a fuck ass haircut.
Yeah.
His haircut is fucking tragic.
Yeah.
He has like a mini mullet. It's frazzly. It's fucked. And I hate it.
Have we ever considered that Wesley's just ugly?
But he's not, is the thing. It's just like, here's the thing. If you're going to be prim and proper, then dress like it. Don't try to be scraggly guy. Like, yeah. Stop. So he looks terrible. Cordy's hair is improving. She has a bob. She has like a straight brunette bob. Much prefer it to the blonde that she had incorporated last season. So that's going well for her. Gunn still has no hair. So that is, there's no update to give you. We do get a little flashback stuff where we get Angel and Darla. Darla girly pop. She's still in the show. So we get a little bit of stuff with them. Basically, what happens is Angel is helping fight vampires. He comes back. He's back from sabbatical. He helps fight vampires. He kills a vampire that he used to pal around with.
Oh.
So, like, yikers. Because basically, it was like double date season in way back in time when Angel had that fucking horrendous Irish accent.
Yeah.
Him and Darla were together, and then this other guy girl couple were together, and he realizes it's her because she's wearing this locket that her like BF boyfriend gave her. Mm-hmm. And he kills her, and so the boyfriend is not happy yeah. at all. So we also find out at the end of the first episode, I don't know what the fuck is happening, but fucking modern day Darla is pregnant.
But what?
She is like full term, like literally could lose her water break thing any second. I'm not kidding. It's a storyline.
Renesmee's coming. Who's the horrible? Is it Angel?
She insinuates that it's Angel. She in the second episode, she like goes to visit some sort of like almost like Eastern doctor sort like of a guy.
Okay, an Eastern, not like a witch doctor. We're talking about like Eastern medicine.
Maybe he's a witch doctor. I don't know. But he puts his like hands on her stomach.
Yeah.
And it's very Renesmee,
yeah.
Where he's like, ah, like he gets like pushed back and he's like, this is not meant to be known. And he's like, and so she's like, time to visit daddy.
No.
So she's going to come back. Apparently it is Angel's child because they fucked. Remember,
it
they
really
fucked
is.
Hard. So,
but how? Again, okay, so because it hasn't been that long. So, like, once again, Renesmee like grew really fast.
Well, no, it's been a minute. I don't know how long it's been.
It's
like,
been
I don't
like
remember.
9 months.
True. I don't know how long it's been since that whole thing went down. But can we just the farce of fucking I got pregnant on the first try? This fucking bitch with her fucking vampire baby.
Once again, who the hell knows? It's very Twilight, which. Once again, like we knew that Stephanie Meyer was a scam artist, but yeah. like this bitch stole from Angel.
Yeah, especially Darla's old ass eggs. Are you kidding me? Like what? Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens there. But that was like fucking draw
Are
on the floor.
Sure this is not like a fever dream.
Literally, I don't know. Like, she's like, maybe it turns out it's not a baby. Like, it's like some Grey's Anatomy crazy shit where it's like what? This crazy tumor that's been growing on her stomach. Like, I don't know.
That kicks.
I don't know. Who knows? But it's very fucking weird. And that's a storyline that's happening.
All right. I guess I'm going to have to watch because this sounds cracked.
Well, it's like a very, very small portion of these two episodes.
Well, that's all I want to watch.
I mean, I get it. Watch the final scene in the first episode and you'll get to see the pregnant belly. But meanwhile,
it's so stupid.
Cordy is still having issues with her visions. Like she is she gets really hurt when they happen. Then she starts getting like physically hurt. So like if she has a vision of someone getting clawed, she has the claw marks on her.
Oh,
so she's like,
no.
She tries to keep it hidden for a minute, but then she can't anymore because she literally gets boils on her face and it's really tragic. Turns out the guy from Harold and Kumar, He has like an exposed brain, and he wears one of those fez hats to cover it. Mm-hmm. And he's working with Wolfram and Hart to give basically make her think she's having visions and injure her. They're not real visions, though.
Okay.
So the angel basically goes to Wolfram and Hart and makes a deal with them. He sets some guy free, some maniac guy. He sets free so they could get like the antidote for Cordelia. And there's going to be repercussions. Like, but I feel like they're seeding an Angel Cordy thing. I really feel like they're seeding.
You've been saying that for a really long time.
Because he's like, you're more important. We'll deal with that later. Like, who cares about that maniac? We'll deal with him later.
All right. So then, if we're just saying that it's going to happen, how do you feel about that?
I feel like Cordy could do so much better. Mm-hmm. I want her to marry a rich man, get everything she did. She shouldn't be marrying this like vampire bro. Like, he's sad boy. Like, stop. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong and maybe they will just be BFFs forever. But it definitely feels like when he comes back from his sabbatical, he like brought her like a necklace and she's very excited because it's like a gift. And like, I don't know. It just feels like there's more going on with them.
Did he get everybody else a gift?
Yes.
Okay.
He jokes with her at first and he gives her like this tiny skull, but it's meant for Gunn. And then he gives her a necklace.
Okay. Okay. So it's not like he only got her a gift. That's very telling.
Right. Right.
He has to. But then again, like, he, even if you have a crush on a girl and want to get her a necklace, you have to save face and get a gift for everybody or else.
Yeah,
it's super obvious.
It just feels like he's making a lot of like big decisions to save Cordy. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. She does get saved. He loves a fucking damsel in distress. We've been new.
Yeah.
One other thing of note is that Jin from Lost has like seemingly officially joined the cast now. He was the guy. I don't know if you remember. There was like one episode he was in where he was like a realtor. So, or something, he works for Wolfram and Hart. And basically, okay, do you remember HBIC, that woman who got like promoted because Lindsay like left the show and died or whatever?
Yes.
So she basically is like, I'm going to get Angel by doing fuck ass shit, like torturing Cordy with Harold and Kumar. Mm-hmm. He is like, I'm going to get them with legal bullshit. Like, their building is not up to code. So he basically shows up at the hotel and is like, you fuckers aren't following the code. We're shutting you down. Like, he does the legal thing. And he's like, there's more than one way to go about this. I'm going to do it this way. You do it your fuck ass way.
That's smart. Okay. So we have like a new villain. What about Freddie? Frankie?
Wilfred. She is on the show. Fred, so the first episode she spends, so apparently while Angel was gone on sabbatical, she like didn't leave, she's living in the hotel, so she didn't leave her like hotel room. She only really talked to him. And so when he was gone, she was like really bent out of shape. He comes back and she literally has written all over the walls. So she's not doing well. But eventually she does kind of sort of come out of her shell. She's very awkward. There's a moment when like Gunn and Wesley are having a conversation about Cordelia and she pipes up and she's like sitting underneath the table and they hadn't noticed her. But she is like coming out of her shell a little bit, but she's very socially awkward. And
what a
kind of like the Anya of,
yeah,
of Angel.
That sounds like she's like a fucking rat.
Like, she's a little strange. I mean, she's a little strange. She was fucking trapped in another dimension for like 10 years as like a slave. So she's bound to be a little funky.
Or like a ferret.
She's a little strange, but she's around and she's definitely a part of the crew now. At one point, she hangs out at Cordelia's because Angel is like, you have to watch Cordelia. Don't leave. And Cordelia's like, take my peanut butter and leave or whatever. Cause she's like, loves peanut butter, I guess.
Okay. So Fred loves peanut butter.
I guess so. Listen, I don't know. I watched these episodes, but I watched 4 episodes of television this week. So
Yeah, that's a lot.
Among the other shit that I was watching. Among
all the other things that you're watching, yeah.
I'm watching so much shit. Just so much shit. So, yeah, that's kind of what happened on Angel. And, like, I will say, I do think they figured out the tone of the show. It feels funny. Like, there's a moment where, like, because they're trying to get Fred to come out of her room and, like, be more social and not lock herself away. And then a baddie comes charging into the hotel. And immediately Angel's like, Fred, go to your room. And he yells at her to leave. So, like, again, they're finding the tone and they're finding the funny, which I appreciate. So I think it's improving.
Are you sure Darla's pregnant?
Girl, so I don't know. But, like, fucking weird shit is going on. And I can't wait for her to show up and be like, you're going to be a daddy.
Oh, she didn't say that yet?
No, she said it to, like, the guy who was gonna birth the child or whatever. She was like, time to visit daddy. She hasn't seen Angel
yet. She said daddy.
I may have just written that in my notes, and I don't know that she actually
said
the words daddy, but I definitely she insinuated
she didn't say like, oh, I'm gonna go
may have said the word daddy. I don't know if I was writing that and she didn't say it, because that could be me to write that.
So, all right. So now I've turned on the episode and I see Darla in a bar in a red dress.
Oh, you're about to find out she's pregnant because she stands up.
She stands up.
That big ass belly.
Yeah, now she's a vampire. Ah, bite, bite, bite.
Vamp face. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Now I see a sliver of baby.
Oh my God, is a foot falling out? What's happening?
No. I mean, like, I saw like a bump. Okay. And then she turns around and it's a really big bump. She's farther along than me, I would assume.
She got a big belly. She's ready to birth.
Yeah. I have like 2.5 months left, and she looks like about maybe like a month or so ahead of me.
I'm saying she's got belly.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with Darla and telling Angel he's going to be a daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting stuff.
You want to name the baby?
Well, let's see.
What's a Renesmee
version? I think we have to include Buffy in there because Angel's going to be like, but my love, Buffy, we must name her after dead that Buffy. Would be,
okay. Well, okay. So you think it's a girl?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Bufflulu.
No, that's crazy. I can imagine him being like, I want her middle name to be Anne. And then like Darla's like, fine, whatever, I don't care. And then like she finds out later that that's Buffy's middle name. And then she's like, what the fuck?
Buffan Lulu. You act like that's crazier than Renesmee. Renesmee isn't a fucking name.
It's not, but I feel like it's a name now. It's just like,
yes, but so can Buff Lulu Anne.
That's stupid. Why would Darla start it with Buff?
Okay, so Druffy.
Why wouldn't they just name it? Okay, we don't know it was after the mothers, and we don't know Darla's mom's name and Angel's mom's name. And honestly, they probably don't know what their mom's names are.
Nah.
I hate this.
I can't wait to see what the fuck happens next.
Was there anything in episode 2 about the pregnancy? Oh, yeah. You said the doctor.
That was part of. Yeah, that was the doctor stuff.
Okay. All right.
So I don't fucking know. But that's next week. That's this week. And next week's episode is That Old Gang of Mine.
Okay. And we are only forced to watch one of them, right?
Yes, because we're only watching one Buffy.
Okay.
I think we're mostly going back and forth. The good news is they both have 22 episodes, so it can kind of go back and forth.
But they're not supposed to connect anymore, so never mind.
Correct. Yeah.
We're not supposed to have anything good and fun anymore, so.
No, we're not supposed to have anything
good and fun. Like those really good episodes where like Willow shows up and does an announcement.
Yeah, we can't have good things anymore.
Spike comes and drops something off, which means that we'll never see Spike and like over with like.
Probably not.
Them anymore, because Spike is of the ownership of Buffy.
I think so.
I still think that. Eliza Dushku News is of property of Angel.
Oh, oh, I don't even want to think about it. I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah, I don't think I would be so surprised if Buffy got Eliza Dushku in the divorce. It's possible.
I hope so.
It's possible. Maybe she did.
Okay, we did get an email from a new listener, which is very exciting. Mm-hmm. Her name is also Sarah.
Oh, very exciting. With an H or without?
With an H.
Okay, respectable.
She's
respectable.
An H girly.
Yeah.
Hi, Jess and Sarah. And she also, Sarah recognized Sarah's because she did not put an H on your name. So she knows that it's a thing.
That is very respectful. Thank you.
So respectful of Sarah. I randomly found your podcast suggested in the Buffy subreddit, which side note, that's wild to me. I've not ventured because I'm too afraid of spoilers.
Oh,
but that is so kind that anyone would recommend us in a subreddit.
Thank you.
Especially because the Buffy podcast world is very saturated. So like, how nice. I'm so glad I did. I love y'all's energy together. And the fact that you are somehow mostly unspoiled on Buffy really helps me get back into that nostalgia mode from when I was watching for the first time. Also, I love her immediately because she says, for what it's worth, I also thought Angel was going to be a literal angel. So I especially loved your early predictions.
Right? Like, I thought that too. I swear to goodness, I was like, yeah, I'm like pretty sure he has like an angel tattoo on his back.
Yes! We were very convinced.
Where did I get that? I don't know.
Dreamed up. I recently had a personal tragedy and the news all around was also terrible and I badly needed to retreat into something more comforting. So I basically had your Buffy coverage on repeat in my ears nearly 24/7. I literally fell asleep with earbuds in, didn't feel great. Don't necessarily recommend.
No, I really like to. Wait, hold on, Jessica. Remember when we were in Atlantic City and my earbud fell? So I slept with my earbuds in.
I remember we spent so much time getting that fucking AirPod.
So we went to Atlantic City together. We stayed in separate rooms, blah, 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 blah. I slept with my earpod in and it fell in like the behind the headboard of the hotel bed. And it was like impossible to get out. And
they were like the headboard and bed frame were like screwed bolted to the wall. Like you couldn't move them. So we had to like get a charging thing that had a magnet on it and like fish it out basically with that. It took so much time.
So long.
Didn't we call like the people at the hotel and be like, hey,
and they were like,
to get this,
we will not help you. But like, of course I had to like call Jess and like, she has to always save my life like that.
I'm
like
absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. So I also sleep with the AirPods in, which I don't recommend because A, it hurts and B, you lose it in the hotel bed.
Yeah, let me say, Sarah, let me recommend to you and also to you, Sarah, all the Sarahs in the world.
Yeah.
Get a Bluetooth sleep mask.
I got one. I didn't like it.
Well, maybe the other Sarah will like it.
She'll like it.
It's incredible. I use it literally every night because it's way more comfortable. There's like little ear thingies, but it's like a comfortable thing to have around. I wear mine as like, you can either wear it as a sleep mask so it goes over your eyes, or I wear it like kind of like a sports headband so that I can still see if I want to watch something. It is a game fucking changer. So I do highly recommend, Sarah, as someone who can't fall asleep in silence, very recommend this Bluetooth sleep mask. Also, very sorry to hear about a personal tragedy.
I'm sorry.
Very happy to hear that we were able to give you some sort of comfort. That is so kind to think that our voices would be of any comfort to anyone. One thing that I noticed by basically binge listening was, this is so interesting, as because she's listened to all of us very quickly. One thing I noticed it was how often brain cancer comes up. If you'll recall, the smart kid in the puppet episode from season 1, episode 9 was rejected by the demon because his brain was riddled with cancer. Then in season 2, episode 7, Lie to Me, there was Buffy's friend from LA who wanted to turn into a vampire because he was dying of brain cancer. Uh-huh. And then, of course, there's Joyce. So what's up with all the brain cancer? Does the Hellmouth somehow cause it, like radiation? Maybe all the evil demons are running the corporations that are dumping toxins into the water supply. Mm-hmm. Or are the writers just lazy and can't think of any other tragic terminal illnesses?
Yeah, probably that.
They're so like, funny.
We always talk about like the post-its on the wall and like somebody forgets.
Brain cancer.
Somebody forgot, keeps forgetting to take down brain cancer from the post in the wall. It's like, oh, wait, hold on. The brain cancer. That's such a good idea.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, like, obviously, I would hope that there was some sort of interesting connection.
I mean, we talked about that a lot last season. Like, is it something about Glory? Like, what is it? So that, yeah, that's interesting that I didn't think about that, that it's been there all along. I'm eagerly awaiting your assessment of season 6 as it takes a very noticeable turn and flexes some newfound freedoms being on a different, more adult network.
Oh my God. If I see penis, I would be so happy.
There's no chance. This isn't HBO. There's literally no chance you're seeing penis. Maybe you'll see the top half of an areola, but like literally nothing else.
Okay.
There's no way.
Maybe a butt. I don't know.
We might, maybe butt. I would appreciate some butt. Without spoiling anything, I like a lot about season 6, but there's a lot to be upset about too. So I'm curious how it will affect your rankings. Congrats to Sarah on the upcoming bebé. I wish her the smoothest. Also, she did write bebé, I will say. I did not just say that. She wrote it.
Yeah.
I love this. Sarah, we love you. I wish her the smoothest and most boring pregnancy and delivery possible.
Best
of luck to her and Adam as they transition into their new roles as parents. And Jess, I truly appreciate your steadfast ACAB stance. And I'll add a hearty fuck ice here as well.
Yeah.
Fuck ice, Sarah. Thank you so much. There's a local donut shop to us called Bitchin' Donuts.
Oh.
And they recently started selling donuts that say fuck ice on them. And they made me so happy.
Oh, is it black?
The donut?
Yeah, the icing.
Oh, it's like they have all different flavors. So it's all different colors.
There's this phenomenon that's been happening in the last couple of months where, and I let's blame the pregnancy. I asked the stupidest fucking questions that exist.
I just felt like what the word is, the lettering black? Like does it matter?
Like if you had to like ask my husband about this, because like he gets the brunt of this, because like he can tell.
Yeah.
So like the other day he was just like, hey, like, do you want to go meet our friend Andrew at the sports bar to watch a game and like get apps? I dead ass looked my husband in the face and said, are you coming too?
Hey, I'm gonna hang out with your friend. Do you want to hang too?
I dead asked him that, and he's like, and this is just one of a billion questions. The questions that I ask are so unhinged, and some of it, like, I understand because it comes from my own anxiety. Like, you know, like he like went on like a trip to Atlanta and like stayed at some sort of like Airbnb type of thing, and I was just like, where did you sleep? And he's like, why do you care?
Give me the photos of where you slept.
He's like, what, like, do you want, like, why do you care where everybody slept? Like, and I'm like, I don't know, because like,
I don't know. That actually sounds just like a normal you question, because you're a nosy bitch.
Well, I think that this is the thing. Like, I think that like, it's like the curiosity. And also, like, I'm very, like, I get very, whenever there's, like, a place where I'm sleeping or going to or staying, I'm very, like, where are we sleeping? Like, what's the bed situation like? Mm-hmm. Like, what room am I getting? But, like, it's just getting so bad because the questions that I'm asking, I'll have to, like, I need to make a list because
I need Adam to keep track of this, because this sounds hilarious.
No, it's so.
Why is it black? Like, why would the ice? What does it matter if the icing was black? What do you mean? Like, and that would be kind of weird if it was, because like, turn your teeth black. Like,
that's gross. That's what I envisioned. But the questions are just like repeatedly. Oh, wait. Okay. I asked him if he had, like, did you, I'll have to remember. It was like I'll remember and I'll come up with a list, because I like asked him like about like if he Googled something, but like the way that I asked it was stupid. So I'll like make a list, because
please, I need to know, because sounds insane.
And I just sit there. I'm like, like, let me ask this question. And he looks at me like, what the fuck are you asking right now? And I'm like, it makes sense in my head.
Yeah. So thank you for your email, Sarah. Thank you for listening, and good luck with the Bluetooth headphones. Like I said, sleep mask all the way. It's very helpful, very soothing, because I don't fall asleep silently literally ever in my life. Mm-hmm. Sarah, can I just tell you also what I've been watching lately? Mm-hmm. It is slowly becoming an obsession. I'm afraid for my life. I have been watching The Vampire Diaries, and it is so fucking unhinged and so funny. Like,
it better than Buffy?
No, like, they're different. It's different. It's very different. Like, okay, Buffy is like, I want like a homemade cheeseburger and fries. Okay. Yeah. So like, I'm not having like a steak. Like, this isn't like mm-hmm. HBO, but mm-hmm. like, I want a cheeseburger and fries. Mm-hmm. Vampire Diaries, it's like, I'm craving Taco Bell. Like, I mm-hmm. need the trash. Mm-hmm. It is fucking unhinged. They churn through plot like no show I've ever seen before. They kill off people. They're so unafraid. They're like, you need to die instantly. Mm-hmm. And it's so gruesome.
Important people?
Yeah, anyone. There's like three people who I feel like are immune. But mm-hmm. they have rings which allow them to go into the sunlight, which Angel could have fucking used that. Shouldn't you not? Maybe you should have kept that fucking ring, which also Cordy does bring up in the first two episodes. She's like, this would have been helpful to have that ring, huh, Angel? It's like, that's fucking right, girl.
So stupid. He threw in the ocean, like,
he's so dumb.
Like,
it's been old rose. Yeah,
he pulled a rose and threw it into the ocean.
The Vampire Diaries is fucking crazy. It is so funny. And like, there's like the shipping game. Unbelievable. Like, there are so many potential options you can ship. It's really fucking great.
Yeah.
It's really stupid in the best way.
Are you an Elena and Damien shipper?
Damon, and yes, I'm a Delana shipper.
You are.
Because Damon is the bad boy.
You don't like it. Stefan?
Stefan is fine. He's actually going through something this season, so he's become far more interesting because he's not so much broody sad boy as he mm-hmm. is like, I'm gonna tear your fucking throat out guy.
It's like Damien is Spike and Stefan is Angel.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Understood.
It's been very fun. So I'm really enjoying it as like my go to bed show, like my put on in the background show.
Will took himself out of the equation.
Oh, Will is not watching The Vampire Diaries.
Because this was supposed to be like a couple's show.
No, not The Vampire Diaries. True Blood is the couple's show.
Oh, so sorry. How can I mix up another vampire fucking show?
I'm watching too many vampire shows, I think, is what I'm now realizing.
Yeah, you're
but it's very like CW. It's very early aughts CW in like such a fun way. Beyond the fact that like the diversity sucks and like why is every witch gotta be black? Like, there are some issues.
All the witches are black
so far. There are issues, and there's like one black character. It's whatever. It's not great.
Wait, all the witches are black, but also there's only one black character.
They kill them
They keep killing the black witches.
Killing the black witches.
Okay, that's terrible.
It's a whole thing.
Are they like voodoo witches?
They're kind of like Willow Witch.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I kind of like the Louisiana voodoo witch. I think like those are.
Oh. No, I'm trying to think. I honestly can't remember where the fuck this show takes place. I know it's filmed in like Atlanta.
Wait, I was just about to say, like, is it in New Orleans? But isn't that True Blood?
That's True Blood.
Okay.
Bon ton.
Bon ton.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what I've been watching. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And I've been listening to a podcast, actually. Shout out to The Vampire Diaries. Is the podcast I've been listening to, which is very fun because they started it during COVID, so it gives like us energy, honestly.
Yes. Yeah, this is our COVID baby.
Yes.
Whenever I do one of those like say a fun fact about yourself, like I'm like I say like, oh yeah, I'm like I've been a podcaster for 5 years, and then I always make the same lame joke over and over again. Some people made sourdough during COVID, but I made a podcast.
It's a hilarious joke.
People do like the joke, but I hate myself because I've like
It's a manufactured joke that I've said so many times, but I think I could still pull it off. What am I watching? I don't know. We're still doing the Psych and Scrubs thing, but now we have to take a hiatus because we have to watch the entire eighth season of Shameless for previously on Shameless.
Right.
And then we have to watch Pretty Little Liars for previous Little Liars. So
you're watching a lot of stuff for podcasting, right? Yeah. And you're watching Gilmore Girls.
Oh, I am. I'm watching Gilmore Girls for the first time. And actually I'm like very excited about it. I've never watched it before because it intimidated me and they talk too fast.
They do. They talk very fast.
Yeah. Adam and I have very different opinions on the characters.
Well, that's fun. Okay.
He's like very like up Lorelai's ass. And honestly, like I'm like the more episodes, I liked her a lot episode one, and then I've only seen three. Each time I see her in an episode, I like her less and less.
That's not surprising to me. I feel like you're going to hate most of the main characters.
Yeah. Suki's kitchen stresses me out. And also
she cuts herself all the time. It's very stressful. Yeah.
And also like I kind of hate the trope of like the overweight character being like
the comic relief.
Yeah, just being like a joke. So like, or like the goofy gal, like I will say
that. She does, they explore her more. It's like in the beginning though, I totally agree with you.
I just don't like that trope. So I actually really, really like Rory at this time, but I've been told by a lot of people that I'm gonna hate Rory a lot. So
the main characters are flawed.
I like the grandpa.
He's great. Richard.
Yeah, grandpa. Grandpa Emily's Richard. Emily's fine. Like, I think that, I mean, I'm like more open to her than Adam is. Adam gets
triggered. She's rich. Yeah.
I like her. I like
hates her. No, well, no, I'm saying Adam hates her because she's rich.
Well, because, and she's old. He hates old people. And he gets triggered because I think like Emily reminds her, her controlling nature reminds her him a lot of his own situation. So everyone else was a dork. Luke is, I got catfished by Luke so bad. I'm so mad about this because I was like,
he took his hat off and he was ugly.
Yes. But I was like, he's so hot. And then he took his hat off and then I was like, fuck, he's ugly. What happened? Yeah. And then he put his hat back on. And then I'm like, he's hot again, but I don't trust it because I've seen his hairline and I don't like it. So I'm mad at him. And I know eventually that the dad from This Is Us is going to be there, but I don't like that fucker.
The dad from This
Milo.
Is
Us. Milo.
Milo Ventimiglia.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't like that motherfucker.
Because of This Is Us or?
No, I mean, like, I don't think he's hot.
I think I'm interested to hear what you think of him when he's on the show. Interesting. Okay. Well,
I'm pretty mad at Rory for not liking her Birkin bag. So that's the only thing that I know about that show.
I don't remember Rory getting a Birkin bag.
Rory gets a Birkin bag from a boyfriend and is like, look at this trash ass bag.
Okay. Now that you say that it was from a boyfriend, I do remember what you're talking about.
And she was literally given an Hermes Birkin bag, that ungrateful, see you next Tuesday.
Yeah. It's giving Carrie Bradshaw getting that fucking horrendous swan bag from Big.
I like that swan bag, but whatever. I
fucking hated that bag. Anyway, that's what we're watching. Now everyone's caught up on everything. And we're going to come back next week. We'll have special guest, our friend and yours, Lindy. On the podcast to talk about the episode. Very, very exciting. Mm-hmm. So it should be a good one, hopefully. I don't know. Maybe I hope we're going to explore what the hell Buffy's been up to and get her out of that fuck ass wig.
Why she dye and turn her hair brown? It doesn't make sense.
Look, literally when you said like she looked like the cave woman episode, that was so fucking spot on. It really did. It looked horrible. But anyway, that's next week's problem. So until then, everyone, here endeth the lesson. Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.